What's up, everyone? Thank you again for tuning in to another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, your host here, and we have a fun episode in store for you today. Hank Plona, the new head coach of the WKU Hilltoppers men's basketball team, joins me and Josh Yonas later in the program just to talk about the whirlwind of a 24 hours that he had last week between Coach Steve Lutz accepting the job at Oklahoma State and Hank being named the head coach there in Bowling Green. It is a great interview, so you definitely want to stick around for that one. A little bit of housekeeping really quick before we get into it. If you're liking this program, if you like CUSA Insider, please go wherever you're listening, whether that be on Apple or Spotify, subscribe to the show, leave us a review, and tell us how you're liking it. Also, you can follow us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X, Instagram, and then also you can send us any notes that you may have about the show via email, and that email address is CUSAinsider@conferenceusa.com. All right, a couple of things real quick before we get into that interview with Coach Plona. If you've been listening to the program for a little bit now, we have talked a lot about this being the inaugural season of CUSA Women's Bowling here for Conference USA. And this past weekend was an incredible one. So it was the first round of the NCAA postseason for bowling. And we had teams, six teams across four regional sites. And so we had a really, really good chance of getting the final four teams, the regional champions out of all four of those regions to the national championship, which, like I said, is four teams. So the final four for women's bowling. And we had the top three national seeds coming into the weekend. So number one was Jacksonville State, number two, Arkansas State, number three, Youngstown State. And then our at-large bids, we had Louisiana Tech, Sam Houston, and Vanderbilt. So we had, like I said, really good chances to have everybody make it to the national championship there in Detroit. And it happened. We were so excited here in the Arlington Regional, just down the street, actually. Louisiana Tech upset the number four national seed, North Carolina A&T, to make it to the regional finals against conference foe Sam Houston. And Sam Houston took that match. So we have four teams in the national finals for women's bowling, which means a national championship will be coming back to Conference USA in our first year with bowling in the league. So that will be this weekend in Detroit. Like I said, the national finals start on Friday. And the national championship match is actually going to be broadcast live on ESPNU on Saturday. So congratulations to Jacksonville State, Arkansas State, Youngstown State, and Sam Houston, who will be competing for a national championship in women's bowling this weekend. Also, over the weekend, we had a lot of shakeup there in the baseball standings with WKU taking the series against DBU, which I think was a little bit of a shock to quite a few people, but they had a great weekend. Dallas Baptist looks to bounce back this weekend against Air Force, but if you would like to check out those standings, see where you can watch games this weekend, as always, just go ahead and go to our website, conferenceusa.com, and check out the sports tab, find the sport you're looking for, and then all of the schedules can be found there. All right, everybody. Thank you guys again for tuning in this week. We are so excited to get right on into our interview with new head coach of the WKU Hilltoppers men's basketball squad, Hank Plona. Joining us today on CUSA Insider is the brand new head coach of the WKU Hilltoppers, Hank Plona. Hank, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And then back again, of course, with us talking all things men's basketball is Josh Yonas, our director of communications. Josh, thank you again for being on the program as well.
Yeah, happy to be here and happy to talk a little basketball, even though, the season ended this week for the nation. You know, it's been a couple weeks since our basketball has been done. So happy to, plug it again a little bit more.
Yeah, let's do it. Well, Coach Plona, first things first. Just a week ago, you were named the head coach of the Hilltoppers. Less than 24 hours after the announcement that Coach Lutz was leaving to go to Oklahoma State, what was that whirlwind process like for you? Can you give us a little bit of an insider's perspective on how that change of the guard took place?
Yeah, it really happened all very, very quickly, obviously. I think the kind of as Coach Lutz was kind of figuring out his situation at Oklahoma State, you know, it had become, I'd say, it had become a little bit public, maybe that that there was a process going on between Coach Lutz and Oklahoma State, and obviously in today's world, you know, people get wind of that. You know, the players get wind of it, families get wind of it, coaches get wind of it. So I think that because that process went a long time, I got the impression that our administration here at WKU wanted to have, I mean, they had some time in there to kind of get their ducks in a row, if you will. Obviously, I'm not privileged to all those conversations, but I certainly had gotten the impression that maybe during that kind of drawn out process that looked like it was going to end with Coach accepting a different job, that they were kind of figuring out what they wanted to do here. So when it finally happened, we had a discussion, you know, very, very soon after we had a discussion with, I was fortunate to meet with our athletic director, Todd Stewart, who does a fantastic job. And obviously, as you know, prior I was an assistant coach here. So up until Coach leaving, I hadn't had any discussions, you know. Obviously, Steve Lutz is the head coach here until he's not. And as an assistant coach, you don't want to have, you know, there's no conversation to be had until that's finalized. So I guess, I don't know. I don't know all the insides and outs, but I assume that maybe some other people had a earlier start on me on that process, but kind of right when Coach left, we had a very positive discussion about the state of the program, where we're at, how we can build on it, why we're going to continue to improve, you know, our team that's returning for next year. And obviously I was fortunate enough that they believed in our vision and continuing to move forward the direction we're going. And obviously they're pretty quickly, I accepted the job as the head coach.
So you mentioned kind of talking with Coach Lutz about the state of the program moving forward. As far as we can tell from our research, you guys did not ever like cross paths coaching prior. Correct me if I'm wrong there, but how did you guys get connected? How did Coach Lutz find you at Indian Hills and bring you on to be an assistant coach with the program?
We never coached together, but I tell you that we've known each other for a long time. When I was a young junior college assistant coach at South Plains, Steve was at Creighton as an assistant coach and recruited a couple of our guys and we ended up having some common friends and those guys back at Creighton spent a lot of time kind of down in our league, you know, South Plains, but you know, Midland College, Howard College, New Mexico Junior College, Odessa College. It's kind of an area where there's a lot of very good players, especially back in that time, you know, but still today, come out of. So Steve and I got to know each other back, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, and we had a relationship all the way through. Every once in a while, he'd got a recruit, but call about a couple of our guys. I had a kid go to Virginia a few years ago that when he was at Purdue, they talked to a little bit. And then when Coach got the Corpus Christi job, he actually ended up hiring one of my former assistant coaches, Cole Dewey, and signed one of my former players, Tyrese Nicholson. So I had two kind of guys I would consider part of my basketball family down there with Coach in Corpus Christi for those 2 years. And I would tell you, I probably watched 40 games and we had, you know, we got to know each other even better. And obviously we're all kind of, I felt like we were, you know, all in it together. So when he got the job here at Western Kentucky, he called me about an opportunity to come here as an assistant. And I felt like this is a program that you got to go to. You know, I feel like Western Kentucky, you know, obviously there's a history, there's a legacy, there's kind of an aura about it. And it's one of those programs, obviously at our level in our league but has a national name. So I thought it was too good to pass up and jumped right at it. And obviously spent 1 year here and then kind of in this whirlwind, ended up in this chair as the head coach.
Yeah, you kind of brought it up right there at the end, taking over a storied program like WKU. Obviously got a chance to be a part of it last year as an assistant, but now as, you know, the 17th head coach in program history, what does that mean to you and how excited are you for this opportunity?
Yeah, it means a lot. It's there is a lot of history here, you know, Final Four appearance, Coach Clem Haskins, EA Diddle, shoot, it goes on and on. And even through, I mean, 2008 Sweet 16 appearance, Courtney Lee, Tyrone Brazelton, Ty Rogers, you know, there's a lot of history through and through. And then obviously there was a 10-year drought or 11-year drought technically before we got here about making the NCAA tournament. And we were able to make the tournament this past year, made a great run in Huntsville. And it was a heck of an experience, and and you can see like this, there's an urge to win here. There's a passion. We have a knowledgeable fan base. And we got a great home environment. Like there's people that they tell you where they've been sitting. Our fans, they tell you about their favorite player. They tell you about the coaches that have come through here. They tell you about a certain game or a certain shot that they remember. You know, obviously Kentucky is a basketball state, and right here in Bowling Green, we kind of have, you know, a very special community that really values our program and the history within our program. You know, Western Kentucky is one of the first programs in America to integrate and to play African-American players. You know, there's a history at WKU from, you know, 1950s, 1960s on, that as a head coach, it's definitely an honor and a privilege and a responsibility to make sure that we continue to uphold the standard that was set here before us and continue to have a program that makes our community proud.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you mentioned the success that you guys had on the court this year. You are no stranger to having success on the basketball court. When you were at Indian Hills, you won 87% of your games. You were ranked pretty much every week of your 8-season tenure there. How does that translate when you come from a winning program that has had so much success at the junior college level to a Division I program and seeing similar success? I mean, I think being a winning coach has to have some similarities, even though you're at different levels. So what is it like to have brought that success from the junior college level? And then how does that translate at the Division I level?
I think, you know, I think you have to value what goes into winning every day. And it's not win at all costs. It's value what goes into winning every day, making sure you're a good teammate, making sure you show up on time, making sure you put others first, making sure you trust that by investing in what we do together, that you will have individual success after. You play for the name on the front of your jersey instead of the name on the back of your jersey. I think that translates at every level. You know, we watched the national title game here this week and UConn's won two in a row. And I mean, Danny Hurley's a high school coach at heart. You know, he's a 11-year or 10-year high school coach at St. Benedict's Prep in New Jersey. You know, I think, you know, with massive success, you know, I think at a young age, I was afforded the opportunity at Indian Hills to be the head coach of at that level, a very historic program. I mean, Indian Hills has had multiple national titles, multiple coaches that have been Division I head coaches, multiple players that have gone on to the NBA and professional opportunities. And getting that opportunity and having that experience at a young age in coaching, you know, is a heck of an experience. Honestly, I thought I would have been good being the head coach at Indian Hills forever. We coached great players, great kids. You learn how to choose, how to put the team together. It's not just an accumulation of talent. It's putting together a group and a team and a family that unites and plays for one another. And I think that when you have experience, whether it's at high school or Division III, Division II, junior college, any which level, when you have experience doing that, I mean, I can tell you I was a way better coach in year 8 than I was in year 1. You know, you look back at year 1, it's like, man, I can't believe they gave me that job, you know? And, you know, so to in my current, you know, at my current point of life, to have 8 years as a head coach and with, I'm most proud of that we had consistent success in that. And yeah, winning is part of that, but I mean, look where our players are. Look at the success they're having. Look at the people they are. I mean, coach players that are now in coaching, coach players that are still playing, coach players that have jobs in all different sorts of areas. So I think that when you put keep the main thing, when you put, you know, playing for one another, being the best version of yourself, you know, and you hold that standard every single day, I think winning basketball games at whatever level you're coaching will naturally happen.
Yeah, I love what you said about putting the team together. I feel like, you know, in this era of college athletics with NIL, you know, all these 5 stars all accumulating on the same teams, you know, who's going to be the one guy that gets out there and, you know, just carries the team. So I love what you say there about putting a team together, playing for the whole team and not just the name on your own back. So thank you for so much for sharing that.
Don't get me wrong. If any five stars want to come here, we're open. I'm open to learn about them. But yeah, I agree 100%.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about yourself. I think, you know, we as Conference USA know about WKU's story success, not only in basketball, but in several sports across the conference. But you were not always a coach. You didn't know you always wanted to go in coaching. You were a player at heart. And I was reading a little bit about you earlier. At some point, you realized that you were maybe better off the court with your basketball IQ than you were on the court. And you became a student manager there at Creighton, I believe. So tell us a little bit about...
I was at Providence.
Oh, Providence. That's right. You were at Providence. Became a student manager there at Providence. So how did you decide coaching was for you? And tell us, I guess, a little bit about that process and why you really love it so much.
Yeah, it's... I liked playing. I think I was decent. I thought I was a little bit, like most players, I thought I was better than I really was. You know, everybody eventually tells you you're not good enough. So I kind of got to that point. I knew I probably couldn't play at Providence for sure at a place like that, but I still had a passion for basketball. So becoming a student manager was an awesome experience because, I mean, I was enamored with being around it, you know. You know, getting to know the guys, you know, shoot, helping the coaches, just learning the game. I always thought as a somewhat average player that I did have good, that I knew the game, that I understood it, that I played to win, you know, like I think that there's some, I probably had some traits that go into coaching. And then at Providence, man, you know, I was there as student manager for about 3 years, then a grad assistant for 2 years. So, you learn at the highest level, you know, the Big East back then had 16 teams. I mean, it was, you learn, you know, being around great players, you know, being around guys that played for 15 years, you know, they're still just wrapping up their professional career, being around coaches that, you know, that had been coaching a long time that are still in the business. You just kind of, you soak it all in, you know, and I think from the start, I think everybody always thought, I guess one of my strengths, even as a young person in our business, was kind of, genuinely convincing players to do what's in their best interest, to, you know, do what you need to do to become the person you want to become, you know. And we all at young ages, you know, sometimes aren't quite as disciplined as we need to. That certainly applies to me, but I guess, as you know, as I always felt a joy in trying to, man, like, wait, you can use basketball to be successful. Like, there's nothing cooler, you know? So I just think there's it's a genuine way to grow and to build character and everything like that. And then I kind of just got into coaching. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I was asked to continue on as grad assistant for 2 years. And I guess some, you know, I guess the coaches there thought that, that I could help in some way. And I just said, yes, I didn't even hesitate. I did that for 2 years, and after that, I knew I wanted to coach. But obviously, I'd been in college at a high level as a guy that, you know, didn't play, and you know, so all right, how do you become a real basketball coach? And you know, a lot of people, especially, you know, and there's nothing wrong with this, but a lot of people become video coordinators or they become director of player development. And I wanted to coach. I wanted to coach. I wanted to recruit. So I kind of took a chance and went from the East Coast to Fort Smith, Arkansas, and did a year as an assistant at University of Arkansas Fort Smith in a place I didn't know. Went to Indian Hills as an assistant at a young age in a place I didn't know. And then I went to South Plains College in Texas for 4 years, obviously in a place I didn't know. So I kind of, you know, did 6 years as an assistant coach at, you know, below, you know, in theory, below Division I, junior college and Division II levels. But man, we had some really good players now, you know, and you have a huge role from, you know, for me, from age 23 to 29, I'm coaching, I'm scouting, I'm recruiting, you know, successful players, you know, I mean, guys, again, the guys are still playing. We at South Plains 2012, we won the national championship, you know, Marshall Henderson went to Ole Miss, Yannick Marrera went to SMU, Tymel Murphy went to Florida International, Stanton Kidd went to Colorado State, ended up playing in the NBA for the Utah Jazz, Devontae Smith went to Arkansas Little Rock, you know, those are our starting five, and that team went 36-0, you know, and so you're coaching guys that are elite level players at a young age, and being able to coach and recruit and help build the team, and obviously Steve Green was the head coach at South Plains then, and he's the best coach in junior college history. So I was fortunate enough to learn from one of the best. And then obviously I got my chance to be the head coach at Indian Hills at age 29, and and obviously, you know, probably a little bit young in theory to be a head coach again. I guess my thought was always, I want to be thrown in the fire. I want to go be an assistant coach at a young age. I want to be a head coach at a young age. I want to get as much experience as I can coaching basketball, you know, building relationships, doing the big picture stuff. And it's kind of weird that all of a sudden now it's, you know, everybody tells me I've paid my dues, but man, I wouldn't have traded that route for anything. You know, I wouldn't have, there was no year I coached that I wished I was somewhere else. And then obviously last year decided, Steve Lutz had made 2 for 2 on the NCAA tournament. Great man. I think, man, a winner and a great dude. Can't turn that down, you know, and I didn't come here hoping to one day get, and I wanted to be a Division I head coach for sure. But man, I just tried to do the best job I could do at my current job. And obviously fortunate enough that led us to here. And now kind of where I'm at looking back, I think that whole journey, the whole experience kind of helps prepare you, to do this.
That's awesome. You mentioned you've been a lot of places that you don't know. One thing you do know is being a head coach. So getting to return to that opportunity, what are some of your goals taking over this WKU team? You kind of talked about some of the principles of establishing that winning culture, but what are some of the other things that you want to implement there? What are some other, you know, aspects of your coaching style that you're hoping to bring from Indian Hills to WKU in this role?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to try to, you hear coaches talk about culture and it gets annoying, right? What does that mean? We want every person in our program, but especially the players, we want to feel like every day we're doing what's in their best interest, that we are making them better. Being the best student you can be is in your best interest. Being the best teammate you can be is in your best interest. And for sure, being the best player. We want guys to feel like they're getting better every single day, that they're moving the right direction faster here than they would anywhere else, you know? We're going to play hard. We're going to leave every day when our fans leave EA Diddle Arena, they're going to say, you know, they fought their tails off tonight. You know, there's never going to be a lack of effort. We're going to carry ourselves united together in everything we do. We're never going to self-combust. We're always going to be good teammates. We're always going to be on the same page, trying to win for every single person that comes to our arena. We're going to play fast. You know, I think that we're going to have talented guys. I like to shoot a lot of threes, probably, maybe too much, you know, I mean, probably to a point where sometimes people will want to remind me that you live by the three, you die by the three, but you know, we've lived by it a lot. So we'll probably be pretty aggressive trying to score the basketball. We'll play intense defense, but we do want the pace to be, we'll try to make you make mistakes, but we do want the pace to be quick. I like coaching teams that are deep. I think you can play at a faster pace and have a camaraderie and togetherness when everybody's really involved. You know, I obviously, don't get me wrong, we'll play the guys to win, but man, I'd like to have 8, 9, 10 guys that are really invested and really part of what we do. Obviously want to build a program. I'd like to, if we can, you know, and it's hard in today's world with the transfer portal, but we'd want to balance kind of classes as good as we can, because we always want to have 2-3 starters in theory coming back. You know, we want the people here in our community to get to know our individual players. You know, I think that that's kind of, with all the transferring going on, that can be a little bit of a challenge sometimes. And don't get me wrong, we're playing to win, we're recruiting to win. But I do think that continuity helps. I think we have a great chance next year because we return a bunch of guys off an NCAA tournament team, and we'll build on what we did. What we were doing was working pretty good. We're not about to tear it down and rebuild it back in my way. Nah, man. Like, we're going to meet our players where they're at. You know, we're going to make sure we emphasize their strengths. We're going to figure out what they really enjoyed that we were doing this year. And no doubt we might add on or change a couple different things here and there, but we'll meet our players where they are currently at and trying to just help them improve. We had a great run in Huntsville, obviously, and there's no point in tearing that down and rebuilding it. No, we want to make sure that we continue. We do want to make sure that, man, in December, we're better than we were this past March. You know, I do think that our continuity, togetherness, and really the bonds that we've built, especially with this current group we have, you know, I think next year, I think we're really excited to hear just for what's upcoming for this Hilltopper group.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned all of this stuff about how great this team was this year, that run you guys made in Huntsville, making it to the NCAA tournament, how you guys are really a cohesive team. As of right now, you mentioned the transfer portal. There are no WKU players in the transfer portal. The majority of your team, almost every guy, attended your press conference. And Don McHenry went as far to say that they all wanted and hoped for you to become the next head coach of the program, and that it was good for them and exciting for them when they found out that it was official. I just think that's really a testament to you and your coaching style. But what are you going to be looking for out on the recruiting trail, just knowing that you guys have a good core group there in Bowling Green already for next year?
Yeah, I mean, we lost Rodney Howard, who was sixth man of the year in Conference USA. So we have Babacar Faye coming back, who started most of the games, but they were kind of a two-headed monster up front. So we definitely need to replace Rodney. You know, I'd say that's the priority. That's the clear hole on our main group. We, as of right now, everybody's planning on coming back. We do have a couple guys that are, that would be their sixth year in college that I know are just getting some opinions on where they, and I'm trying to help them get opinions on where they would fit in professionally and things like that. Like it's with the COVID year, still a different world. So, but yeah, we'll have the majority back for sure. We do want to get, we want to add some younger pieces. You know, we want those guys that were part of that NCAA tournament to play, we were up 7.5 against Marquette. Like not no disrespect to anybody, but we felt like we were in position to win that game. You know, we want to build on where we were at. So I know that there's nothing better than hungry players that want to get themselves back to that position. But at the same time, if we're fortunate enough to return that main group, we do want to continue to build for the future. Tegan Moore and Jack Edelin are good young pieces. It'd be good to add a couple more young pieces where, so in 2 years, we can kind of continue to move forward rather than have some kind of complete rebuild. So, just definitely some front court help and probably some youth that we think could play a good role here in year one and then be potential starters in year two.
And I know Steve had brought a couple guys, in Jalen and Tarion from A&M Corpus Christi. Are those guys that you expect to, I know Tarion missed all last year recovering from that leg injury in March 23, Jalen kind of off and on last year. Are those guys that you're expecting to play some pretty large roles this year?
Yeah, potentially for sure. I think Tarion's still kind of figuring out his injury rehab. He had his injury at Corpus was pretty significant. So they're both important parts of our program. They've played for Coach Lutz at two different places. I think that as of right now, I think that yes, we're planning on them both being here. But obviously, as things progress, we'll make sure that we sit down with both of them. Jalen's one of those. Last year was his last year of eligibility, but he got injured during the year and we're working currently. He talking about applying for a medical hardship. So Jalen's situation sorting itself out as well. But obviously they've played for Steve, but hey, I've been with him a year. We want to make sure that each player does what's in their own best interest. But no, Tarion and Jalen they're awesome. They're obviously they're two guys that have been starting guards on two NCAA tournament teams. So, and when we talk about value and winning, they don't get better than Tarion and Jalen. So they're an important part of what we're doing. And definitely as we move forward, just kind of figuring out their exact situations for sure.
And then going back to Don, obviously bringing him with you from Indian Hills, what is that relationship like to have an elite player in this league and now, a new head coach that already have that history together? You've got 1 year under your belt at WKU, kind of have that hunger from how this year ended. Just how unique of a situation is that? And what are you guys looking forward to accomplishing this year?
Yeah, he's a special one. Don is he's a unique person in a great way now. Like he really loves to play basketball. There's a lot of guys say they do. He's in the top 1%. There's a reason why he's Don's averaged, I don't know, about 15 points a game all 3 years of college, but Division II level, junior college level, high-end junior college level, and then here at WKU. Like he keeps proving that he can play and he keeps improving. He's just about to turn 21 years old next month. So Don's still a very young senior, So like those guys are, when you're still 20, you're still growing into yourself physically, mentally. I thought he did a great job for us this year, kind of as through the year with us at Indian Hills. And then this past year here at WKU, he's become more and more of a point guard, more and more of a ball handler. Obviously he can really score, but more and more of a ball handler, playmaker. He's improving on defense. He's becoming a better rebounder. You know, he had 8 rebounds versus Marquette in the tournament. He's capable of a lot. And obviously it's cool. You know, I've been on these last 2 years with him, and then all of a sudden the change right now. I mean, I know I'm looking forward to it, and I'm just like always, I'm really happy that he is too. You know, it's, and I think everybody says, you know, and I'll pick on your words a little bit, but you brought, I guess technically maybe it looks like I brought him, but man, both places I've ever been, and even this year, we just, you know, I want Don to do what's in Don's best interest. I want Don to feel passionate about what he does, and no doubt him and I do have a relationship where, I guess I feel fortunate, and I hope he does too, that we have open communication, that don't get me wrong, I believe in him as much as anybody I've ever met coach in this game. He is the real deal now, you know, and I think I'm not selling him on that. Like I really do. And I think he knows that. And I guess I try to, just like he tries to be the best player he can be, I always try to be the best coach I can be. I want him to believe in what we do, not because I'm trying to convince him or trick him or fool. I've never tried to do any of that with anything. Like, I think he believes that playing, you know, here, you know, and I think he's excited about what's in front of us. As you said, he sure said he was. So no doubt that makes me feel great, because I do know, it's good to know that he truly believes that we're going to build on, for me and him personally, the last 2 years together, but also with his current team here. I know how excited he is to play with Christian Lander and Tyrone Marshall and Babacar Faye and Enoch Kalambe and Tegan Moore and Jack Edelin and all these guys. You know, like, I know that we've done, it's not just Don and Coach Hank. Like, that's, no, man, like Don gets treated just like everybody else gets treated. And that's what Don likes. You know, I think Don's the type of guy, he doesn't want preferential treatment. He doesn't want to be the guy that, all right, he's, you know, he'll probably be a, right, potential preseason player of the year. I mean, I'm not, you know, he's in the conversation, you know, and he wants to keep earning that from April until November. And as I said, that's what I look for in recruiting. That's what I look for members of our basketball team. And no doubt, all the things that I look for in a player, he is. And in addition, he can really get buckets. So that helps too.
That's a good plus for him, for sure.
He certainly was, he can do some special things with that basketball now. Sometimes you just got to get out of his way and let him go. He's, I think his best basketball is in front of him. Obviously I couldn't be more thrilled and overjoyed for the opportunity to be his head coach again. I mean, it's special, and I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah. I know, just kind of, you know, talking with people, watching Caitlin Clark this past weekend, and everyone's just like, oh, every time she does anything with the ball, that's great. And I'm like, that's how it was watching Don McHenry in Huntsville, you know, last month. Like, he would just make plays and you're like, how? Like, no one can make plays like he can make plays.
But I try to say sometimes I taught him some of that, but I didn't. No, he's a unique talent. Like his ability with the basketball to create space and to score, he's got wiggle, head fakes. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, it's one of those things that some guys just have it. You know, some guys are born meant to be basketball players, and he's one of them. And in addition, he's an elite level teammate. He's a high character person. Like, I mean, the guys love playing with him, and no doubt he has the ball a lot, but man, the teammates love playing with him. And that's what happens on winning teams, is guys appreciate and value one another for each other's strengths, you know. And it's pretty cool for me to see, you know, everybody here value Don for who he is, and obviously it helped him have a great year.
Tell me a little bit about WKU and Bowling Green. You've been there for a year now, and then obviously with this very quick whirlwind change of guard that we've been talking about, you had to talk a lot with AD Todd Stewart, a lot with President Tim Caboni. Tell us a little bit about your administration there, and why it is that you decided, yes, this is what I want to do. I want to be the head coach there at WKU.
I mean, Dr. Caboni and Todd Stewart, I mean, there's been a lot of success here for a long time in a lot of different programs. And I think when you have continued success, you know, continuity, that says a lot about the administration. You know, I think we have all the support to do our jobs as good as we can as head coaches. You know, Mark Reardon's the baseball coach here. He was at Iowa Western. So I've known him for a little bit. I mean, and talking to him, I mean, he's obviously completely confident and empowered to be best, you know, to do his job in the best manner, you know, that he can. And I think that certainly in my conversation with Dr. Gaboni and with Todd, I certainly feel that there's a belief, there's a confidence, there's support, there's a willingness to help in any way. It's very important. I think here in Bowling Green, I think Western Kentucky athletics is a huge part of what drives our community. You know, not just, I mean, basketball games for sure, but football games, baseball games, softball games, all the other different sports that we have. I mean, this is from August 20th to about May 10th when college is in session, man, Bowling Green's got a lot of life to it. You know, you can tell that the WKU is kind of the driving force here in the community. When you're going around town, I mean, people, you know, everyone wants to share what year they graduated, you know, where they've been. And that passion is awesome. I mean, you want to be in a place where people care, where they're invested. I mean, emotionally invested, where they genuinely, where we're important, where we mean something, where people want to help in any way possible. And he'll help us help young kids succeed, you know, help young men figure out life through basketball, you know, and obviously, no doubt, put championships on the board. You know, I think when you have a administration like we do that believes in you and wants you to succeed, no doubt there's an expectation that we can compete across the board in all sports at any level. You know, I mean, yeah, we want to get back to the NCAA tournament, but we want to win games. I mean, we, you know, again, never disrespecting an opponent. We expect to win games when we play them. And there's no doubt, there's no reason why we don't have the ability to do that right here at WKU and right here in Bowling Green. We're excited and looking forward to getting to work to try to make that happen.
And it doesn't hurt that you have the best mascot in America also.
He's pretty cool now, man. Like when people say, well, what is Big Red? No, who is Big Red? First
there
of
you
all,
go.
And it's impossible to describe. I don't even try to describe. One of a kind. You cannot describe uniqueness.
No, I have a cutout of Big Red in my office because I love him so much. I love all of our schools, okay? But as far as mascots go, he is the A1. He's my favorite for sure.
It's okay to love Big Red more than the other mascots. You do not have to apologize for that.
Thank you. Well, I have a fun question. So I just want to make sure Josh has gotten all of his basketball questions out of the way. Okay.
We're done talking X's and O's.
So we talked about Bowling Green, how that city has some life to it when college is in session. But we like to ask this question of people who come on the program who may be traveling around as fans from other schools and maybe visiting Bowling Green at some point during their journey. Where do you like to eat? This is what we call our CUSA Eats program. You can answer me with multiple restaurants, your favorite dish at one restaurant. But if Josh and I were going to get on a plane tonight, travel to Bowling Green, where would we need to go grab some grub?
There's a lot of good restaurants in Bowling Green now. If you're going for lunch, I would say Griff's or Gino's. Those are the two best ones. One's kind of a really good little deli. One's kind of an Italian, you know, specialty deli. They're both great spots. Obviously for dinner, you know, Rafferty's is kind of my spot, but Rafferty's, Montana Grill, Mr. B's for sure. Brought the team there last night to watch the game. It was wonderful. Double Dogs. There's a lot of great spots. I would encourage you to find, you know, we have a million chain restaurants and I love those too, but definitely you want to find the places that are unique to Bowling Green.
There's some
unique kind of little mom and pop diners, you know, breakfast spots. Lisa's Fifth Street Diner, Teresa's, Concon's. Those are good little home cooking type spots right there too.
Lisa's and Teresa's. They're different places, but I like them. They rhyme.
Open at 5 a.m. Great food.
Nice. I think you and we had Coach Lutz on the program earlier in the season, and I think you and he had some overlapping restaurants. So
we might have shared some meals at those restaurants.
Probably so. Well, Coach Plona, thank you so much for joining us on the program today. We look forward to see what the Hilltoppers will do in the 2024-25 season, and we wish you luck on the recruiting trail this summer.
Thank you guys very much. Hopefully we're back in Huntsville and doing well, and we'll see you there. And I definitely appreciate all your guys' time and what you do. Thank you.
Thanks again to Hilltopper head coach Hank Plona for joining us today. He has had quite the week. He's run the media availability gamut, I feel like, with all of the interviews and questions he's been asked over the past week. So we really appreciate him joining us, CUSA Insider, just to give us a little bit of information about him, who he is, and what he plans to do with that Hilltopper program going forward. Well, everybody, that is all I have for you today. We will be back again next Wednesday with a national championship in hand for women's bowling. So tune in to CUSA Insider next week. Don't know who our guest is going to be yet, but I have a feeling it will be someone from the national championship winning squad for women's bowling. All right, everybody. Thanks again for listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.